Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 59 of the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. My name is Patrick Laporte, something something dark side, and something 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 complete.
And my name is Chris Laporte, Star Blaster Blueprint Approver. I always pick the worst words.
Yeah, why you always pick things with so much, like, alliteration that you just, that's hard.
God damn it. And Gardener at the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters.
Do you do that? Do you garden with your mind?
No, I'm just a normal.
You're just like a normal guy.
They can't have, I mean, because all, anyone who's not normal is going to be a student, you know?
True.
So you gotta have just normal people.
But what if you're a graduated student and Professor X was like, all right, now you've graduated, now go out to the world and, you know, create peace and use your powers for good. Nah, you know what? I'll just chill here and be the gardener. Someone's got to do it. I'll do it for you.
Well, some of the hardest years of your life is right out of college, you know? Like, you get out of school.
Security.
You get out of school and you don't know what to do. You know, like, the world's a harsh place. And sometimes you need to go back to what you know. So apparently I graduated, my powers weren't super great, you know, I probably had like just like potently stinky feet was my mutant power, which is real. It's a real thing. And yeah, so I just decided, you know what, I can probably make a few bucks gardening at the, there's a lot of lawn.
There you go. It is a lot of lawn. They do have a lot of lawn.
And you got to cut the, like, the lawn that's above the plane. You got to cut that a special way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure that you cut all the hedges into X's.
Always a pain in the ass.
Always a pain in the ass. Because you got to make it all symmetrical and...
Always end up with T's and I'm always pissed off.
Yeah. We wanted capital X's, not lowercase X's. These are too small. We're not a X-Men, we're the X-Men. We gotta have capital X's.
Who told you to put a dash? We're not doing the whole word, you idiot.
Yeah, jeez. You know what could help you deal with X's, though, Chris? Is beer.
Wow. That may have been your best one. That was, thanks. It worked on a lot of levels there.
It did. Had one of these left over at my place when you visited. I'm drinking the last of the Beer Geek.
Nice.
Breakfast stout. So, I got that going on. Nice one pint can.
It's real good.
It is real good.
And, I'm gonna be, how much is, that's a good percentage on that one, right?
7.5.
Oh, okay. Oh, whatever. Yeah. I'm gonna be drinking Wexford Irish style cream ale, which I had last night, honestly.
A Wexford?
But it was the first time.
Is it good?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's a cream ale, so.
Ooh, cream.
You know, it's smooth. It's non-offensive. It's Irish. It's me.
Yeah. Hey. It's white. Don't leave it out into the sun too long or exactly. It'll go bad.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's 5%. It's very very fine.
You know what else is having days in the sun, Chris? Movies that have been nominated for Oscars, they're having their day in the sun.
Oh man. You're like, God, I hope he mentioned something about the sun. lead it to there.
Come on. The Oscar nominations came out today.
Yeah.
Yeah, this morning.
Day of this recording.
What do you want to talk about them, Chris?
Well, they're there.
Any highlights?
Yes.
Any actually. Notable notaries?
Any notable notaries? Well, first of all, I just want to point out that The Last Jedi has been nominated for 4 Oscars. Suck on that, everybody. I don't care if it's sound. Oh. If I don't care if it's sound mixing. You know what sucks about last year's Oscars? I can't say that anymore because Suicide Squad has won an Oscar.
It's true.
So you can't say, "Well, it got nominated for an Oscar." That you can't say that anymore.
It's true.
stupid. What was it? Costuming and
costume
hair
design,
and makeup,
I think.
Or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, hair and makeup probably. Yeah.
Here's
so what were the four?
Sound mixing, sound editing, which I can't really tell you the difference. I guess one is creating the sound effects, and the other one's like editing them into the movie.
Okay. Right?
Jamie, sure. Jamie will correct me on all this at some point.
Yeah, Jamie, help.
And then
we need an adult.
Special effects, of course, and score. So anyone who said there was no original themes, you're wrong.
No, that we can say.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I can tell you right now what's the worst nominated. You want to go over just through Best Picture?
Let's do every.
No, you know what? Let's go through every nomination.
No, that'll be saved for an Oscar episode. That's true. Chris.
I was actually talking to our movie collaborator Andrew today, and I think we'll try to coordinate it like the week before the Oscars come out. That gives us time to watch them too.
Oh yeah.
How many?
Yeah, I need to watch.
Well, let's go over the list and we'll figure out how many we need to watch of Best Picture.
Okay, it'll be a lot.
So, Call Me by Your Name, Darkest Hour, which surprising. Dunkirk.
Okay.
Get Out. Lady Bird. Phantom Thread. So that answers my question from last week. The Post and The Shape of Water. And three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. So,
all right, you want to hear the number?
How many have you seen?
I need to watch all of those except one.
Dunkirk, right?
Dunkirk. Yep.
It's good. I've seen four, so I'm not exactly like super far ahead of you.
I chose to see other movies this year, like Justice League.
What a great choice!
And Spider-Man.
Only one of which you regret, and the answer might surprise
you. Yeah, really, literally, I only regret the latter of those two.
That's such bullshit.
And For the Brave, or whatever that firefighter mom. Oh, so I saw two. So I saw probably one that's going to win Best Picture for Mom Movie of the Year or whatever.
Yeah, well, that one and Darkest Hour are definitely in contention for Parent Movie of the Year.
Yeah.
I was explaining Parent Movie of the Year to my new roommates today. I'm recording from a new place, by the way, everybody. First recording in the new apartment, and you might hear cats. I don't know. So,
meow.
But yeah, I was explaining our Parent Movie category. I think it should be a thing cross culturally. But yeah, I've seen four. I've seen Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Lady Bird. Isn't there another one? What's the other one? Maybe I've only seen three.
Shape of Water? You didn't see Shape of Water.
No, I didn't. Why did I think I saw four?
Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Lady Bird. Yeah, that's all you've seen.
Wow.
Chris.
My texting earlier to Andrew is a lie. My God.
You liar.
Shit.
I hate you!
Oh, all right. Well, Shape of Water got like, what, 12 or 13 nominations? Something like that?
Yeah, probably what, director?
Like everything, all the things.
Yeah.
Except makeup.
Which is weird because they have, well, maybe it's not makeup.
They consider it a costume? I think that's a different category.
Yeah.
Because it did get nominated for that one.
Then, yeah.
Also,
my opinion is that Dunkirk should win.
That's the one you've seen. Of all the three I've seen, all three, Lady Bird is like leagues better than, well, I don't want to say leagues, but it's certainly better. It's the best movie of the year, probably.
But yeah, you need to see the other.
I need to see the other seven things.
Yeah.
Special mention, Mudbound, which was cinematography, a movie I had not heard of actually. But the cinematographer.
Oh, is that the one with the ladies? The lady director and.
Well, Mudbound. The cinematographer. That's Lady Bird. Has the lady director and the lady lead and the lady supporting, all of which should win. But Mudbound had cinematographer Rachel Morrison, who is the very first woman cinematographer to ever be nominated for the Oscar. So.
There you go. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's 90 years.
Whew. Still progressive nowadays.
About goddamn time. But yeah, speaking of, I mean, it's actually a pretty diverse list for Best Picture, because we have a black director, we've got a Latino director, we've got a female director, as opposed to, like, what 2 years ago, it was, like, literally all white, like, best leading actors or whatever. But yeah. So that's cool.
What about a special shout out to Logan as well for screenplay?
Yeah. The writer in me appreciates that one.
Not everybody forgot about that movie that came out in March.
I know. I almost thought, like, I'm like, oh, snubbed across the board. Everyone forgot about Logan. I guess the only other thing I could really see it maybe being nominated for would be Best Supporting Actor, because fucking Patrick Stewart was delightful in that one.
Yeah, true.
But
what about a lead actress for the little girl?
Which, she has, like, no dialogue for 3/4 of that movie. But still acting. But
there's one line she does say that, with that part where she's like, when Logan's like, the people I care about die or whatever. And then she's like, well, then I shouldn't worry.
Oh, yeah. That was like the biggest mic drop ever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess I'm going to have to see Get Out, unfortunately. We're going to probably watch it. Probably one of the first movies we watch in this apartment.
I hear it's not scary.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it's on HBO, so you can watch it.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That'll be the first one I watch, probably, just because it's the most readily available for me.
That one, I'll probably be watching that in the next couple days.
Speaking of, was It nominated for anything?
Oh, shit. No, I don't think so.
Oh, shit! Like, makeup, or...
I don't think so. I don't see it on this list.
Nothing, huh? Fascinating, considering it was broke records for horror.
Yeah, right? I think, I just want to see Finn Wolfhard get nominated for something, because it's the best fucking name ever. But
just so you can have an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
For Finn Wolfhard.
Hard.
Hard. That's what I said, right? Or I said guard.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of.
The gray two. Sorry. Wolfhard.
Sorry. I had guards in my mind, because you know who has a lot of guards, Chris? I finessed you.
You did.
I messed up on purpose.
Maybe. We're going to go with that. Sure.
Sure. But Chris, could you tell me, you know, the very same person who has a lot of guards, also, who has the greatest laugh in Star Wars, in the Star Wars universe, Chris?
Jabba the Hutt. That's right. He has a lot of guards. Fantastic laugh. And when he is perplexed, it's great.
It's true. But that's not the person I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Although his guards are very sexy.
You mean Boba Fett?
Those pig guys. Those pig guys are super hot. The Gamorreans.
Yeah. And the guy who trained the Rancor.
No. Yeah. My baby. No, I'm talking about Emperor Palpatine, Chris.
Papa Palpatine.
Papa Palpatine. So we're starting a new kind of thing for maybe like once a month or once in a while. We're gonna do
I'm thinking like one the last recording of the month, probably something like that.
Yeah. Well, which I don't think that's technically this
month, I think, but it is actually.
Well, it'll come out
the last of this month. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, true. But yeah, we want to do some deep diving into nerd geek lore, and we're...
Because I'm diving in. I'm going deep.
So basically, we're going to trade off. We're going to pick topics, whether that's a character or event, theology, whatever world-building lore is in a geeky universe, like Star Wars or Harry Potter or Marvel or whatever. We're going to dive deep into it and do some research for you and present it with PowerPoint. Oh, no.
Yes. PowerPoints will be provided on the Brother Geek website.
With the swirly text coming in.
Follow along. I'll make sure it bounces.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll make sure I put a little bouncing effects.
What's the worst one? Like the laser one? It's like... for like every letter. Like, oh my god.
Yeah. No, it's the bouncing one that's for every letter. And you can put it in slow, like in slow mode. So it's just like...
Yeah. But we gotta figure out a title of this section. Before we do this, we need to title this podcast within a podcast. Nope, somebody else already does that. We need to title this thing that we do, this deep lore. We'll just call it lore. No podcast is called that.
No. No podcast I listen to,
no,
Chris.
Not at all. Lore.
We'll call it bore.
Deep loring.
Deep loring.
I think.
Deep loring.
I think we all know what we
Deep loring.
I think we all need to.
Sandstorm.
I think we have the perfect name. We both know it already. We just don't want to admit it to ourselves. And that's.
Let's say it at the same time on three.
All right. One, two, three. Super geek.
Nerd.
Super geek. It's super geeky. I think that's what we should go with.
Okay.
I wish everyone could see the hand drop
for that.
I wish everyone could see the hand motions I was doing.
Yes.
I don't know what I was doing. I was doing like Pharaoh, oh baby, let my people go. I was like doing those motions. Where's my private school kids at?
Right here. Father Abraham had many sons.
We're gonna go deep diving into Christian school song lore.
Oh man, week. that's a deep dive you don't want to go down. Just a lot of brainwashing and.
How dare you?
Am I wrong?
You're gonna tell me hip hippopotamus is brainwashing? Because I will fight you. I have no idea what the purpose of
that song. What about the rubber ducky song from VeggieTales?
I will not have you besmirch VeggieTales.
Hairbrush.
Oh man,
Mama Manatee, the manatee song. Anyway, we should really move on. So I'm taking the first one of Super Geek, Super Geek, and Super Geeky, which I guess is what we're calling it now. It's gonna take forever to say that every week.
We'll record it. You know, we'll record it once next time with like you know real good, and then that's just what we'll use every time.
Drop it in.
Yeah.
So this week, I decided to take the lead on this series, and I'm gonna start off with a bang, maybe even two bangs if you include both Death Stars. Emperor Palpatine is where I'm starting. It gets in some prequels, it gets in some sequels or originals, and then sequels, not really. But
what could have been?
There's a lot of what could have been kind of sequels if you count all the weird stuff from the comic books that's not canon anymore.
And his legacy remains, right?
It's true. I mean, look at that dude that got chopped in half. He was
spoilers.
He was pretty like Emperor Palpatine.
Is it okay? Are we at the point where Last Jedi is just like we don't need spoiler alert anymore?
Yeah, we're far enough away. Fur enough.
If you haven't seen
fur enough,
if you haven't seen a meme about it already, I mean,
it's true.
Shit.
Chris, if I had a Star Wars themed bar, I would have a drink called the Emperor Palpatine.
And then someone could come up and order it and go Palpatine.
And then they can unleash their hate.
Upon
but
their memories.
Yes. So let's dive right in.
All
right. And I hear you might have questions along the way. So
perhaps
when those come up. Please raise your hand and I'll call on you. Yes, Chris.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Make sure you get a hall pass. So Palpatine, he's also known as Darth Sidious. Did you know that?
Oh. That's who Luke was talking about. I was very weirded out by him just mentioning Darth Sidious in this movie, and I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know, right? So for whatever reason, they're like, let's use that name from the prequels instead of just saying Palpatine.
Do they use Do they use the phrase Darth Sidious in the prequels, right?
Yeah.
At some point? Very little, I think.
Yeah, very little.
Palpatine much more.
Because he's Palpatine when he's on the Senate, mm-hmm. when he's Senator Palpatine, which is where you mostly see him in the prequels. And then he's only referred to as Darth Sidious when he's, in the hood. And
that's right, because they definitely go like, but Darth Sidious.
Yeah. But what about the Jedi? Oh, that's who I should have done. I should have done on the Galactic Trade Federation.
Next time, Patrick.
Damn it. Damn it. Do you know, Chris, off the top of your head, where Palpatine was born?
He was born on the planet that was just one topographical feature. It could have been snow. It could have been... I have no idea.
He was born on Naboo.
Seriously?
Yes, he was born on Naboo. He was the representative for Naboo in the Republic.
Interesting. Oh. Huh. Yeah. That's
born.
I like that. Born I actually in
82 BBY, whatever the fuck that means.
Wait, oh, that the year or whatever?
Yeah, 82 BBY.
We're going to need a time.
Before something.
We're going to need a lore episode just on the timeline for Star Wars.
I don't know what BBY means. Let's lead up right now. Galactic Standard Camp. Before the Battle of Yavin.
Oh, that's... Okay.
There you go. Wait, and then there's ABY, which is after the Battle of Yavin.
That's weird. So, that's just, the turning...
That's so weird. When Jesus came.
His name was Luke.
Yeah, so... Born in 82 BBY on the planet Naboo, the aristocratic House Palpatine. Believe it or not, so he was an aristocrat.
The aristocrats.
So as a kid, Palpatine loved. You know what he loved to do, Chris? He was a collector.
Just rolling in the sand.
Yeah, he loved it. He loves the sand. Actually, he is just the best.
He's like, I need to find someone who hates sand. We have to offset each other.
He loved to collect things as a child. He used his family's wealth as aristocrats and took that pocket change and went on over to the black market.
Oh, and, shit.
Yep. And he began to collect some sweet Sith artifacts and runes and ancient texts.
Go right and for the Sith. What the hell, man?
Yeah, he just dove right in. He was enraptured by the secrets of the field.
How old was he?
It doesn't exactly say. He was just a kid. Let's just say 12.
That's kind of funny. I kind of imagine I was this like 8-year-old kid just going like, one Sith artifact, please.
One dark magic cube, please.
I don't know, kid. I got money. All right.
Yeah. But he was the eldest son, so...
I guess he's got to take on that responsibility of collecting Sith artifacts for himself.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
I know!
Someone's got to do it.
What do you think I've been doing all these years? I've been collecting Sith artifacts in secret, because I'm the eldest, and that's what you do.
I gotta do it, because no one else will! Yeah, so he loves all that crap. And then... In 65 BBY, he met a man named Hego Damask, who was a businessman, who was actually the Sith Lord Darth Plagueis in disguise.
Everyone, the Sith in their fucking disguises.
Yeah, so this businessman, who's, probably traverses the black market of Naboo as well, sees this little boy. Hey, this guy really loves Sith shit. And I sense a great power and ambition within him.
Someone's got a fetish.
Yep. And so I'm gonna tell him to to be one of me. But I'm gonna disguise myself first.
Wait, that's the dumbest strategy ever. Why wouldn't you just present yourself as a Sith Lord? If you like Sith artifacts so much, you'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm going with you.
Well, do you want to know how their first encounter went?
They probably laughed a lot.
Hego Damask goes up and he says, Palpatine. And then Palpatine says, how do you know my name? And then Hego Damask says, shit. I know more about you than just your name. Which, he says his last name. like, the house that he's from. Like, that can't be too far of a stretch to just know that. He probably had, like, a Palpatine pin on or something.
Vote Palpatine, like, supporting, like,
Palpatine?
Supporting his dad. I follow your Tumblr, kid. Like,
so, he meets this guy, and all the while, he's studying at Thede University. Go TU!
Wow.
And he also is enrolled in the Legislative Youth Program. Fun.
What a fucking loser, dude.
Yeah.
Was he on the debate team, too? Jeez. Probably. Yeah. Probably have to.
And take a guess. He had daddy issues. So Palpatine, motivated by pride and a desire to see his homeworld become part of the greater galaxy, sought to quietly undermine his father's political agenda during the election season.
So wait. Naboo is not a part of the Republic yet at this point?
Not yet. It's not yet. So they don't have a seat on the Republic as of yet. And more importantly than just trying to undermine his father's political agenda, it was the rift with his father that indirectly led to his future as a Sith. And so, in order to undermine his dad's political agenda, Palpatine released confidential information pertaining to the shady role certain royal houses, including his own, probably, during, like, a mercenary conflict that happened with some opposition to, like, other houses. And so he releases these blacklisted information, and because of that, his father lost a lot of sway with the rest of the houses. And because of that, Darth Plagueis took note, because he saw this young man was craving power. And so the young man had craved for the power of the Sith since becoming a collector of Sith artifacts, and soon he would have his chance to join the Order.
That'd be really funny. Sith. It'd be really funny if, like, he had no connection to the Force, though. And he's just like, well, shit. You got gusto, kid, but you're not special. I don't know.
But there's something about you. I just don't know. But this is all while Plagueis, not Palpatine, was still in his businessman attire. So it's probably just like, he probably just has a suit on.
It's honestly, I imagine the Sith Lord in all his robes and just like a suit put on top of it.
So he just has one of those t-shirts, like one of those graphic t-shirts that has the like tie, has the tie and, on like, there. A rose.
Yes, I have a business merger meeting somewhere. Lightning!
Yeah. So, Plagueis is, like, talking with this dude, you know, and they're having conversations about, like, power and all this. He's, like, planting the seeds of all this stuff, and he keeps, you know, he's like, you know, your father's an idiot sort of thing, you know. He's trying to keep you back. You need to take care of him sort of thing, and
turns into the Godfather real quick.
Yeah, he's like, you need to embrace your destiny.
Everybody,
you know, that's a big thing in Star Wars. It's
seriously, everybody's all about everybody's destiny.
Yeah,
what happens when all these destinies merge? You know, like, they can't all be like meant for great destiny. See, that's the problem with destiny. Somebody else has a great destiny too. And there's a problem with that.
Yeah. So Palpatine has the defining moment when he's pretty young. He's probably like a young adult at this time, late teens. So his dad is journeying. He's going to this place called Chandrilla with his entire family to retrieve his heir.
Whoa. Chandrilla, do you understand what that planet is?
No.
That is the level from Rogue Squadron where you have to protect a train, and then if it blows up enough, the train is blablazzle.
Well, something's going to blablazzle, Chris, because listen to this. So they have a family yacht, because of course they do. So they pick up Palpatine, And when they're on the yacht, his dad and him get into a fight, and for something else not, some other crazy thing not to happen with the releasing of confidential documents, because his dad eventually found out about that, he's going to send Palpatine away. He's going to keep him away from Naboo during the elections, and most importantly, he wants to keep him out of this weird businessman's reach, because he's like, you're spending way too much time with this pedo, all right? Like, I don't want my son to be gay. And so, I mean, that's just how I imagine he talks.
Yeah, I mean, rich landowner, Naboo, I put the numbers together.
Yeah, so he is going to go send them with his other family so that he can complete the legislative youth program locally. And of course, Palpatine gets real mad about that. They start arguing, and they're verbally attacking one another. And this altercation brought out their long-standing yet barely concealed hatred for each other, until his dad revealed to Palpatine that he had wanted to kill him from the start. So his dad's like, son, I wanted to abort you.
Jesus.
That sort of thing. And this just brings out all of that repressed anger and frustration. Really, this is just a study on... You need to talk things out with your family. You know, you can't let all this anger just be repressed. You need to talk about it out, or else you're going to release confidential documents. You're going to learn that your dad wanted to get an abortion.
Jesus. This is not good family dinner conversation.
Yeah, this is Thanksgiving dinner conversation when it should be Easter Sunday dinner conversation. You know what I'm saying?
And for the first time, Palpatine gets pissed.
Yeah, so he instinctively draws upon the power of the dark side. The something, something dark side.
No, Patrick, he can't instinctively draw power from it. No, that makes him a Mary Sue. That can't be the story.
But he kills his entire family with it.
No, he can't do that. That's not Star Wars, Patrick. This ruins Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars. And, oh, wait. He kills his entire family and their security guards. Does that make it better?
Okay.
So after he kills everybody up in there, I'm presuming he does this by shooting a bunch of lightning. That just seems to be his MO.
Yeah.
Is I'm just shooting lightning. Yeah, my family's a bunch of dicks.
And he tells his dad, and now, old fool, you will die.
He just leans over his dad, and then he just laughs at him.
Is that what it says? Is that what it says on Wikipedia?
Yep. It says, Palpatine stands over his father's dead body and laughs at him. No, it doesn't say that. He actually calls up his best friend, the businessman Damask, and he was assured by his
Damask
mentor
and
that
Palpatine
no one...
yeah, going on crazy like adventures.
NBC sitcom. The businessman and the Sith. And the Sith Lord. So Damask tells him, hey, don't worry, nobody's going to ever find out that you killed all your family. Even though it's going to be pretty obvious when you're the only one left and nobody returns home, but whatever. So he arranges for all the evidence of the crime to be purged, and that Palpatine should go back to where the train's going to blazzle in Chandrila. Then him and Damask meet up, and he judges that the young Palpatine is worthy of joining the Sith after he murders his entire family. I would say, you know, that's... fair.
yep,
that's fair. Darth Plagueis reveals himself. He initiates Palpatine into the Sith, and to keep with tradition from Darth Bane, who's this other dude that we'll talk about a little bit later, don't worry about it. It was common for Sith names to begin with the forename Darth, and so it was, you know, give them that title. So he names him Darth Sidious.
Now, how do they come up with the second half of that? Because it seems like in the prequels, when Darth Sidious gives Darth Vader his name, it's very like, and Darth, Vader, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Sweet. Plagueis saw a com- Yeah, at least so many factors went into deciding on the second name. At least one, based on observed ceremonies, is that Sith Masters would enter a kind of communion with the dark side of the Force, question it, and within it find inspiration. So they kind of, they talk to the dark side of the Force. Like, they shake the magic, dark side magic eight ball. What should I name my apprentice? Ask again later. Darth, ask again later!
Darth, maybe.
And so he's communing with the dark side, and he's also trying to think of Palpatine's, you know, personality. So Pelagius saw in Palpatine a being completely lacking in empathy. He's ambitious, he's arrogant, and he's insidious.
Oh! Chris. So wait, what's Vader? So he...
I don't know. I'm not. We haven't gotten there yet. We're still.
Shh. You need to invade the. Oh. Yeah. Vader.
That's. I mean, honestly, that's probably it. That's probably it. So yeah. So then he takes him as apprentice, and then starts to focus on training him in his Force abilities and his combat skills. Any questions yet, Chris?
If he can kill his whole family and two security members without any training, how intensive is that training, Patrick?
Well, he still doesn't really know how to use a lightsaber, so still gotta learn how to do that, I guess.
I suppose. And it seems like he gets pretty good at it, because he can twirl in the air and kill, like, four Jedis really quickly.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. And so he's training his combat skills, but he's not just training his Force abilities and his combat skills. He's also trying to hone his natural talents as a politician. So this sort of starts to get into, like, Darth Plagueis is starting to train Palpatine to be this person that will undermine and do things subtly and take down the Republic and along with it, the Jedi. Because
Patrick,
he perhaps realizes.
I thought you were gonna do something on Palpatine, not our current political situation.
Oh, sorry. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm actually in the Wikipedia for Donald Trump. Sorry, let me switch the tabs over. What would Trump's Darth name be?
Oh shit.
No, that's a question for the listeners, Chris. Mine is Darth Carrot.
Darth Coffee.
Darth Cheeto. Darth Coffee. Coffefe. Darth Coffefe.
Darth Coffefe.
I hit my head against the mic and I'll laugh. That's funny.
Sorry, oh, so man. He's undermining the Republic. Go on.
Yeah. So you want to know what the first thing he does is to train him? Yes?
I don't. Okay.
So he takes them to this planet, Megiddo, and he kicks them out into the cold.
some of these names, like...
I know, they're great. They're great. And this is probably, by the way, not even canon anymore.
Go to fucking planet Mojito over there.
Planet Mojito, right next to planet... Tequila. So he's subjected to intense cold, and Palpatine actually nearly freezes to death.
And he's kept alive with his hatred. Get pissed.
Yeah, so he's freezing to death in this cold planet, and during this time when he's almost freezing to death, Darth Plagueis is like, hey, tell me about how you killed your family in exacting detail.
Jesus.
And do it a lot. Tell me about it. A lot.
And does he give the details?
So he gives the deets.
Yeah, I was shooting lightning out my ass.
Yeah, so his goal is to, like, tap into Palpatine's hate and anger and desperation for survival to destroy any vestiges of Palpatine as the young noble from Naboo and instead transport him into Darth Sidious.
I thought you were going to say transport into the Adventure Zone.
And so he, so then part of the test is Pladius is doing one of those things where like he's in a car and he's picking up Palpatine, but every time Palpatine gets close to the door, he like starts to drive away. And so he uses,
are you joking or is this serious?
No, he uses a mind clouding technique by having his apprentice struggle to reach him. And only then does he discover that he had been a doppelganger the whole time.
What?
Yeah, and he deprives Palpatine of food, water, and sleep. So there you go.
Huh. Huh.
So then Pladius, he starts teaching him more about Sith history. And part of Sith history, Chris, what can you tell me about Sith masters and their apprentices? What are some things you know about Sith masters and their apprentices?
Well, Patrick, if you'll allow me, I do know that there is something called the Rule of Two. And there is only one master and one apprentice, because the Sith are little bitches and can't work anything out amongst each other.
Yes. So, exactly. So, remember that guy Darth Bane I was talking about a little bit ago?
I do recall that. I do recall.
So Darth Bane kind of creates this Rule of Two. It had kind of been there, but sort of broke down. So the Rule of Two, as you said, is a Sith philosophy mandating that only two Sith lords could exist at a given time. A master and an apprentice. So a master to embody the power of the dark side and an apprentice to crave it. And Darth Bane was the one that sort of started this, because he's the sole survivor of a war against the Jedi Order that happened in a millennium before the Clone Wars. Yeesh. And that whole war was basically a civil war as well. So it was a war against the Jedi Order.
And a war against each other.
Yeah, it was mostly just the Jedi Order coming in and taking advantage of this, a bunch of infighting that's happening with the Sith and their, like, apprentices. Yeah. And how many there are. And so he...
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, Darth Bane creates this Rule of Two where there can only be two Sith.
And did you know, Darth Bane's the only one who ever names himself. He goes, "Okay, I'm Darth McBane."
For whatever reason, even though you already said his name, Darth Bane, when you started to say Mick, I was like, "I'm Darth McRib." That'd be my Sith name, I think.
Darth McRib. I'm only a Darth for a part of the year. Darth McRib's back. And better than ever.
And it's random. At least it's, you know, it's not like I'm Darth Shamrock Shake, where you know when it's coming every year.
Oh shit, it's Darth McRib.
You never know when he's coming, but when he comes with a vengeance.
I'm drawn to him, but it's always shitty.
I'm drawn to him, and I think it's going to be good every time, but it's always disappointing.
I'm the Darth of Disappointment.
Darth Disappointment.
It's a unique force ability.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's this Rule of Two. But Pladius is actually appalled by Darth Bane's Rule of Two, too. Because you know what else is part of the Rule of Two, whether it's inherent or not? Yeah. Because one of them is the master that has the power of the dark side, and one of them is the apprentice that craves the power, there's going to be a thing that happens where eventually the apprentice is going to want to become the master. And what's the one way you do that while still maintaining the Rule of Two, Chris? Well, you gotta kill your master and then get yourself an apprentice. And so obviously Pelagius is like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to train my killer.
Well, see, that's the most intensive internship of all time.
Yeah. And so Pladius keeps, in order to try to get rid of that, he tries to become, like, friends with Palpatine, I guess. And so he wishes for no secrets or feelings of jealousy and mistrust to exist between Sidious and himself. And so, in the long run of the Sith grand plan, Pladius envisioned himself as the power behind the throne, while Sidious is, like, the public face as Palpatine, who is the political figure that's secretly carrying out Sith interests.
Gotcha.
So that's how that happens.
And have you ever heard...
But eventually,
of the tragedy of Plagueis the Wise.
Yeah, so I was just about to get to that. So, but eventually that doesn't happen. And Palpatine's like, fuck you. And he kills Darth Sidious in his sleep. Or Darth Plagueis in his sleep.
Plagueis, and fuck you.
I'm pissed. It was in the middle of this whole Plagueis trying to find immortality, and which he kind of does, kind of doesn't. He, like, I mean, this isn't an episode about Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, true.
He
might be Snoke. Figures it,
yeah, he, like, learns how to, you know those blue ghosts?
Yeah.
Well, you know how Sith don't get the blue ghosts?
No, they don't.
Because they're not those. As in touch with the Force.
They're bad boys. They don't get those. Only the good boys get those.
Well, Sith kind of, or Plagueis kind of discovered how to, like, make sure his soul sort of survives. It's a weird thing. But anyway, Sidious kills Plagueis, and he becomes the master. And what does every master need, Chris?
Every dungeon master? Well, probably a few players.
Every master needs a Torgo, Chris. You know this.
That's true.
And so while he's still... it's funny because while he's still an apprentice with Plagueis, Sidious was given an infant Zabrak, which is the race that Darth Maul is, the dude with the horns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he starts training him, not necessarily as a Sith, but as like an assassin. That Sidious can kind of use whenever, but then after he kills Plagueis, he's like, you're my apprentice now, I'm going to train you in the ways of the Sith. So then Darth Sidious takes Darth Maul to a Jedi temple. Yeah, Darth Sidious takes Darth Maul to a Jedi temple, and...
Has him poop on it. Just poop on the step. Just shit on it. Go.
Yeah, like fuck you. And then they fuck you, Jedi.
They put a little bag of poop out, and then they ring the doorbell, and they run away.
Yeah, yeah, they light it on fire. Yeah. one thing that Palpatine learned from Plagueis is, like, how to conceal himself really well, like, his dark presence, specifically from, like, Jedi. So that's why... in the prequels, nobody, like, knows that Palpatine's a Sith, because he apparently learns how to, disguise himself.
Force stuff.
Yeah, force stuff. Because magic.
Because magic.
Because space magic. So they go out into this temple, and, they're walking around amongst some Jedi, because, you know, Jedi temples at this time are still... up and running.
They haven't been lit yet.
Yeah. And he starts pointing out, like, individual Jedi, and he's like, you're gonna kill this guy, we're gonna take them. He starts whispering, he's like, yeah, we're gonna kill these people.
What do they look like walking through this temple? Like, two dark robes, just like, that, kill that guy. What
are you, one guy's like, red.
Excuse me, what are you saying? Nothing. Kill that guy, definitely kill that guy.
Kill that guy first. So then Darth Maul starts getting the sense of, like, oh, we as Sith are super powerful. We're walking amongst all these Jedi, talking about how we're going to kill them. They're not even noticing us. Like, the Jedi are weak, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then... He sends Maul on his final test, sends him to a remote, isolated world where he's hunted by assassin droids for a month, and then he picks him up at the end of the month and finds Maul was exhausted and hadn't eaten for days. But even still, Palpatine challenges Maul to a duel.
What a dick.
Yeah, but Maul was defeated, obviously, and then he stands over his body, his broken body, and he's like, I've been secretly training another apprentice in case you failed. And that pisses Maul off, and almost kills Palpatine, actually, because he was going to kill him, and disarms Maul. Palpatine ends up able to disarm Maul, but then Maul just keeps, like, swinging at him, like, just punches, and he bites his hand.
Jesus.
And everything. But then Maul's training was something, something, something complete, and he's now a Sith Lord. But... I want to talk a little bit more about, so that's kind of where I want to end there, because that's kind of where we pick up in the prequel movies is Maul's, you know, we kind of see the rest. But I want to talk about, like you pointed to earlier, how Palpatine sort of, even though he's old as shit, presumably he, like, is able to take down these Jedi masters
he does
hand-to-hand
like...
combat.
He does, like, some Cirque du Soleil shit and kills these dudes.
He does do some Cirque du Soleil shit. He, like, you know, he's even able to square up against Yoda for a bit.
It's true.
For a bit.
And then Yoda randomly goes, I'm done, I guess. I don't know. Dagobah.
you threw a thing at me. I'm done.
I could go back up there. Fuck it. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's another podcast topic right there.
Yeah. Fuck it. We'll talk about Yoda someday, I'm sure. And so, so that's kind of where the movies pick up is he has Maul on his apprentice. Like I said, he's able to, you know, kind of hide himself so people know about Darth Maul because they can sense him. But they're like, oh, there's a rule of two. Like there always has to be another one. So we got to find this dude's apprentice because they think Darth Maul is the master.
Right.
But it's really Palpatine. So, yeah, let's talk about some powers, Chris, that Palpatine has. Any questions?
I don't think so. This is very intriguing.
That means I'm doing a good job. So,
wait.
As you said,
one question. Was he disfigured the whole time, or is this going to be in the powers section? Or was he just kind of disfigured and old the whole time, or was it the lightning?
No, I mean, he just gets old because his plan is very methodical and slow. He just gets old.
Hashtag gets old, man.
Yeah. But despite his oldness and his frail appearance, Palpatine is incredibly skilled in lightsaber combat. He's one of the greatest duelists of all time, actually. He's a Sith swordsmaster. There's very few who could contend with, like, Mace Windu and Yoda, but Palpatine's one of them. Because you know that Mace Windu's, like, the best duelist.
Ever.
Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why he easily kills Agen Kolar and Sassi Teen, who are considered to be the two of the finest lightsaber duelists of all time, each with a single blow. So those are the guys you're talking about where he just, like, cuts them and they're done.
yeah, those, what happened to them?
And he's also, like, and while he's fighting Mace Windu, he's able to kill the formidable Kit Fisto, the guy with the green tentacles that's smiling a lot.
No. That's
yeah,
not
that's
his name.
It's Kit Fisto. Kit Fisto. I'm looking at him, right? You can look him up. Look up Kit Fisto. I'll be the guy. You'll probably get a picture of a green dude smiling at you. I guarantee you. I'm going to go on Google
right now. I hope
right
so.
Now.
I hope so.
I'm going to go on Google right now. Google Images. I'm going to look up Kit Fisto. And
get
I'm going to see what the very, very first image of him is. The very first image of him is... him surrounded by droids, holding a green lightsaber, smiling at you.
The next one is him getting fucking killed.
No, the next one's from, looks like the Clone Wars animated series picture.
Oh, shit.
But, here, I'll send you this picture.
Thank you.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Anyway, so he's able to kill these formidable opponents. Very quickly. He doesn't give a fuck. Because he's actually really good. He's a
but
master.
They didn't even try. They just stood there like idiots.
Yeah, that's true. But he's a master of all the different lightsaber techniques, I guess. He's well, not a master, but he knows all of them, at least. Maul, when I eventually do an episode on Darth Maul, Darth Maul is actually a master of all the different saber techniques, which is why you can see him switch kind of back and forth mid-combat when he has, like, one at one point, because his lightsaber gets chopped.
Oh, yeah.
And, but he chooses to do the most hard one, which is the dual-bladed flipping around a bunch fighting style. but anyway, this is about Palpatine, Chris.
Oh.
Stop asking about Darth Maul, please.
I'm sorry.
Stop.
It's my fault.
Asking about Darth Maul, even though he's the coolest. and actually, he's even able to defeat Luke Skywalker in a one-on-one lightsaber duel, Didn't know that he fought Luke Skywalker, huh?
No.
That's because it's not canon, and he's actually dead at this point, and he's in one of his clone bodies.
Doesn't Palpatine just get cloned over and over and over again?
Yep.
Oh, why didn't we keep the canon, Patrick? It seems like really good storytelling.
Oh, it seems like the best.
What do we do? Clone him. I don't know.
Confusing shit.
That's the best thing the writers could come up with. Should we make a new enemy? No, let's clone this shit again.
Let's clone him.
We killed three clones. Clone him!
There, I sent you the picture on Facebook.
Thank you.
It's great.
Oh, Patrick has sent me a picture. Let's see what it is.
Look it up right now.
I don't want a software update. Go away. God damn.
Update, Chris.
Jesus.
Gotta keep your updates on.
It's just a big picture of an ass. Is it your ass?
Haha, gotcha.
How hairy is your ass?
Nailed it.
He's a good smile, I'll give him that. Your ass, I mean.
Did you know, Chris? Did you know?
No, I didn't.
That Palpatine's ambidextrous?
Okay.
Because he is.
That's fun. That's a fun tidbit.
So he can change his fighting style at a whim and always keep his opponents guessing.
Yeah. All right.
And Palpatine's favorite way of fighting was to draw his opponents in, fighting less than his true capability, and then striking the fatal blow when his opponents thought they had the better of him. So he's kind of a bitch.
And that's all while saying, get pissed.
Yeah. So he augments his swordplay by using Force Speed, which allows him to defeat three experienced Jedi Masters at once. Very little effort. That sort
Force
of stuff.
Speed. God.
Yeah. And he usually fights with one lightsaber, which is what we see. But he's also a master of Jar Kai, which is wielding both of his lightsabers against... at the same time.
He's two? He's another one under that robe? How many lightsabers does he have? Is it like Darth...
two.
Is it like Dooku? Or not Dooku. Grievous? And he just has like... He opens up his vest,
he has a big trench coat.
Yeah. You want to see some lightsabers? On the other side, there's...
got lightsabers.
On the other side, there's death sticks. But this side's lightsabers.
Yeah. So, he fights Darth Maul and Savage Opress at the same time, which is Darth Maul's sister. By the way, that's a thing.
Jesus, doesn't he have a brother too? Yeah.
Something. So yeah, he's like a really good fighter, and not only that, he has a lot of force powers. Chris, you wanna know what force powers he's got?
You might as well start rolling them out.
You wanna know what his favorite force power is? Can you guess?
Force annoyance.
Force titty twisters, Chris. Yeah.
Static. He like shuffles his feet, right, on carpet, and then he like pokes you.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Make sure he has fuzzy socks on. So force lightning was like his favorite thing, but he's actually really good at like telekinesis, so that's why like he's able to fight Yoda and like fling things at him at the same time without like really like doing the whole hand thing like people usually gotta do. And that's answering your question from earlier. That's actually how he kills his family, is he kills them with his telekinesis. So I'm guessing he just like blows up their heads or something. I don't know.
Goes all 11 on them.
Yeah. Sidious was extremely skilled in Force Lightning, and was known to use this both as a lethal attack and as a way of torture. If used to its full potency, he can instantly reduce one or more people into charred husks.
Huh.
Which, yeah, why didn't you just do that to Luke? Why did you gotta just kill him?
Oh, because he wanted him to suffer. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, damn it, the stun setting's on.
Yeah. In addition, he could use the Force Lightning power to light up the surface of an entire planet.
What?
So, that planet's kind of dark. Let there be light!
And yet he couldn't stop one robot man from tossing him down a sack of potatoes.
We'll get to a lot of things he could have done. And then, so he also has this thing called Lightning Grenade, which is... where he combines, I know, these are great names. he combines his telekinesis and his lightning into one, so he like floats a thing in front of him and then shoots it with lightning to power it with lightning and throws that thing at the person, which is like, why don't you just shoot the guy with lightning? Why do you have to add a step? Doesn't make sense. Force speed, which I already talked about. Force flight. You can fly. but this is the one that I want to talk about. Because it's fucking amazing. It's so ridiculous. And this is the thing that I was like, oh my god, why are people so upset they got rid of, like, all the comics and shit? Because this shit happens. So Palpatine was also the only known being capable of producing a force storm of his own power, a dark side technique which he himself discovered, and that had enough power to kill an entire world. Hold your questions, Chris. Using his anger and his will, he was able to rip the space-time continuum and create a hyperspace wormhole.
So the force power was force hyper-fucking, is what you're saying?
Yeah. It should be noted, though, Chris, that even though he claimed to be able to conjure a storm simply by willing it, by his own admission, he was not able to fully control it. So it gets a little wacky sometimes. Now, so that's the downside, is I'm able to control this. I'm able to create this force storm that's able to destroy a whole world, but I can't really tell you where to start it, which side of the planet it starts to destroy it on.
Yeah, when you already have made the decision to destroy a planet. Oh, I'm sorry. I can do it whenever I want. It's going to blow up your planet, I guess.
Yeah.
And yet, a robotic old man tossed him down a shaft like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. He could also... one of the fights that people have with his clones, with Palpatine's clones, Luke... So he starts conjuring, one of his clones starts conjuring this force storm, and he's gotta just wreck everything, and it takes the combined efforts of Luke, Leia, and the unborn Anakin Solo.
What?
The unborn Anakin Solo.
So, like, fetus force?
Yeah. Through the light side, to turn his dark side creation against him. It's a little... Baby Solo. Oh man.
He's kicking. No, he's saving the galaxy.
Yeah. He can also use the force to transfer his essence, as well as the essences of others, which he used to survive death on at least two occasions. Like we said, he has some clones as well. Then eventually die. So he dies like four times, technically.
Somebody's got to figure out eventually, like, maybe we should stop making copies.
Yeah. Well, I guess he just had them.
But
they all get destroyed. They all get destroyed at one point, or like contaminated or something by some dude. And let's actually see what this says. I think I have it like right here. However, Palpatine did not stay dead and eventually used a rare and ancient force technique to transfer his spirit into one of many clone bodies stored in the deep core world of Biss.
Get Bissed.
And then they were undermined by subversions within his own inner circle, including his royal guard, Karnor Jax.
God damn fucking dude. Star Wars names, I swear to God. Hey, Karnor!
And then Palpatine desperately tries to take over after, like, all of those bodies are sabotaged and their genetic source materials contaminated. Palpatine desperately tries to take over the body of Anakin Solo. Palpatine's spirit, however, was intercepted by the dying Jedi Knight, Empatogios Brand. who dragged the Sith Lord down into the depths of the Force forever.
Which was part of his hashtag brand.
Hashtag brand. Yep.
So he's the real hero of the story, this guy.
That guy, that dude. And so, want to hear about something crazy? That's not canon anymore, but you should know this, because you played the games. So there's this game series called The Force Unleashed, which the first one was real good, the second one was shitty. But Palpatine effectively wielded, so, you know, he creates the Empire, the Senate's gone, Order 66 has happened, all that good stuff. He creates a super weapon known as the Death Star.
Glad now.
Which, why does he fucking need a Death Star when he can create a Force storm that destroys it?
Yeah, right.
That the only way people can stop it is if they somehow kill him.
And have.
But then they can just transfer to his clone bodies.
And have a fetus Jedi on retainer.
Yeah. But anyway, he discovers that Vader was training Galen Merrick, an exceptionally powerful Force adept, as a secret apprentice Starkiller. So when Palpatine discovers Starkiller's existence, he forced Vader to fake Starkiller's death, and then requests that Starkiller assemble the most influential traitors in the Empire in a rebellion in order to highlight and destroy them all. So Palpatine's like, hey, fake this dude's death, but then get him to recruit all the most dangerous people to our cause.
No.
And start a rebellion against us so that we can destroy them.
Well, yeah.
But then obviously this plan has backfired.
Yeah, because in the game, like, he wants them all in one place so he can kill them all.
Yeah. But then Starkiller...
Makes sense.
Yeah, Starkiller turns light side, vows revenge against Palpatine, and then sacrifices himself. So, in a way, Palpatine is the starter of this rebellion that he, probably shouldn't have. Because it ultimately leads to his demise. Oh, well.
But it's not canon anymore.
It's not canon anymore.
Basically, all the things...
How did that rebellion start? It just did.
Basically, it started in Revenge of the Sith, honestly. But basically, all the canon we lost, good. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, who cares?
But because all that crazy shit, oh yeah, Last Jedi ruined Star Wars. Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, not, a dude has clone bodies that he could just teleport to all the time and can create a thing that does exactly what the Death Star does, but it's arguably better? not to mention there's the a fetus that destroys the Emperor, and who cares?
What a journey, Patrick.
What a journey. So that's the story of Palpatine.
Papa Palpatine. Papatoon himself. Well, thank you, Patrick.
So let us know how you like this series, listeners. If we should do it some more. If you want to see it happen. I mean, it's going to happen at least one or two more times.
I want to do one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our Super Geek series. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Patrick, we've got some Weapons of the Week to go over.
So if you don't know what Weapon of the Week is, Chris, what it is listener Luke has started the zombie apocalypse. In order to survive the zombie apocalypse, you're left with the one weapon that you last saw in a movie, TV show, video game, etc., etc. What is that weapon? How long do you last? And we have one from a listener this week, Chris. Do you got it? Or?
Oh, yeah, I think you got it. You brought it up. You brought it up once already.
Yeah, you got it. You got
get it. Pissed. Get read it.
So this one comes from Jake. Good old Jake. He says, "Hey, brothers, geek. Last show I watched was comedians in cars getting coffee. Aww. So my weapon in the zombie apocalypse would be Steve Harvey." That's it.
My favorite part is there's no other context whatsoever. It's just Steve Harvey.
So I'm gonna say. Steve Harvey, that's the dude that messed up Miss America, Universe. Yeah. So I'm guessing what he does is, like, he finds the zombie horde, and he's like, oh, the survivors are over here, or Jake's over here, and then just misdirects them. So Jake can escape.
So Jake's just using misdirection the whole time. And the zombies listen every time, and for whatever reason don't attack Steve Harvey.
Nope. Yeah, well, they zombies, if you didn't know, they prefer white meat.
I knew you were going to say that before you even started that sentence, god damn it.
Taking a page out of Always Sunny.
Yeah, right.
It's a good one. It's not racist. I'm not racist. I just prefer white meat.
Oh, shit.
But Chris, do you have a weapon of the week?
I do have a weapon of the week. Because I finally watched this movie. Especially as a brother geek. I probably should have watched it a long time ago. But my weapon of the week this week is a completely indestructible metal penis. Because I watched Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
And he does punch and kick Colossus a couple times in the penis.
In the dick.
And yeah. Breaks his wrists and arms and legs and everything.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So it's pretty good because I guess I'm just running forward.
Well, first you gotta go, rah! And then run forward.
That's true. You're not wrong. Yeah. And then I guess I could just clear the way, like part in the Red Sea. I don't know.
Watch out for my dick.
Hold my dick.
Oh, nice. Well, I was thinking about my weapon of the week this week, you know, looking on the Wikipedia, doing some research on Darth Palpatine, you know, and I was really thinking hard this week because there was quite a few things to choose from. You know, I could create a wormhole or whatever, but then that would destroy the whole planet, and that would, you know, that's not really viable. So you gotta survive. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, what? Because, you know, when you're fighting a zombie apocalypse, you want to be able to have a good story to come back to your friends to. You know, you want to be able to go on this adventure surviving a zombie apocalypse, survive it, obviously, with the help of your weapon of the week, and then come back and relay the story to your friends and hopefully make them cry, make them laugh. Maybe they spill some milk out their nose. So you want to build up the story. You're telling the story and you're building it up. You're building it up to the pinnacle. And then you reveal how you defeated the zombies by saying, "Then I threw the whole Senate at them. The whole Senate."
True story.
True story.
I literally just watched that last night because my roommates had not seen it before. I was like, oh shit, you gotta watch this thing. Because they were like, have you seen the bad lip reading of Empire when they do the whole song or whatever? Yeah. I was like, yes. And I'm like, have you seen this? Like, what is this? I'm like, oh. Oh god, he's crying.
Oh god, he's crying.
Oh shit. That's really the best Palpatine we have. That's still canon, I think.
Oh, yeah. Throwing the Senate? Yeah. Oh, the robot chicken Palpatine?
The robot chicken Palpatine is still
it's canon? Can,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's canon.
You might be wondering how I got here.
Oh, man. Palpatine. Robot chicken Palpatine is the best.
The best Palpatine. It's hands down. Across the board.
You're so dumb. Your mama's so dumb, she thought a lightsaber had fewer calories. You have to have a lightsaber, light better for your body.
You thought Jar Jar had pickles in it.
Yeah, Luke actually says that.
Oh, okay. I don't remember my robot chicken lore. Maybe that's our next super geek episode.
The other one Palpatine says is, your mama's so fat. Obi-Wan Kenobi said, that's no moon. That's your mama!
Like I said, Robot Chicken Palpatine's the best Palpatine there is. Oh, man.
For sure. But yeah, I think that's, in reality, the most geek of the week
that we've had. If you want to contribute to our geek weekliness, that was me and my hard phrases. I just can't do them. You can check us out on our website, theportport.com. That's the PORT.com. We have articles going up every week. I just put one up about Lady Bird. And we do movie reviews. We talk about video games, all that good stuff. And you can find our podcast there too. And of course, our contact page where you can say, hey, I really love the Robot Chicken Palpatine as well.
Yeah, I got some questions for the audience this time. Besides, what would Trump's Darth name be? What would your Darth name be? What would your own Darth name be? I want that one as well.
Ooh, and then, I like
that. Mm-hmm. And then if you have any topics for Super Geek that you would want us to maybe go through, let us know. We might pick a few fan ones.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So let us know what, hey, I really like this topic and want you to know more about it, A, and want other people to know more about it. You should do this. Or, hey, I'm interested in this topic, but I'd rather not do the research myself. I'd rather just listen to a podcast about it. That works too.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And be sure to send us your weapons of the week, of course.
Of course. But yeah, that's our Geek of the Week this week.
That's Chris. Our Geek of the Week. All right. Well, then this is Chris signing off.
And Patrick.
And get pissed.